The scripture today is from Philippians, 4th chapter, 4th through 7th verse, New Revised Standard Version. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
This morning's scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share it with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, but be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. May God add his blessing and lend understanding to the reading of his word. John the Baptist was a wilderness preacher, not a street preacher. There's no account of him doing like we know street preachers to do, going door to door, standing on street corners, being at public events. Instead, he set up his station out in the middle of the wilderness, and people were supposed to come out to see him there. Why? Now, early in my pastorate here, I shared a story with all of you. I went to an Amherst game, a Rochester Amherst game, and there was a street preacher out there scolding everybody in a John the Baptist kind of fashion, telling everybody they were going to hell and they're lost. And I decided to confront him by yelling at him. Only what I yelled at him was, "This is my commandment, that you love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another." And I shouted as loud as he was shouting at them, at him. He told me I was still going to hell, I think. I can't remember what he said as I walked away after 10 times. I was going to lose my voice. I've seen other street preachers since doing this very same thing at the corner of Penfield Road and Fairport 9 Mile Road. There's somebody that sets up shop there, maybe a couple of different people. And I haven't tried to do any similar interventions since. But none of these guys seem to draw a crowd. Nobody seems eager to go over and listen to them. And yet, when John the Baptist preached, people wanted to go. They not only were in town and saw him preach, they wanted to go out of town, go out into the wilderness. And mind you, they usually had to walk or use some kind of an animal to ride. They couldn't just go out and see them. They had to go a distance to the wilderness where nobody was to see him preach. And they see him wearing, other scriptures describe him wearing a camel's hair garment and subsisting on a diet of locusts and wild honey. So do you think people just came out to see the freak show? This weird guy out there shouting in the wilderness? Well, not so, according to one source. According to one source, his austere camel's hair garment was the traditional garb of the prophets. And his diet of locusts and wild honey represented either strict adherence to Jewish purity laws or the ascetic conduct of a Nazarite, which is a Jew especially vowed to God's service. So this wasn't a freak show. This is someone who bore the characteristics of a prophet from God, and people recognized that, and they wanted to hear what God had to say to them. I can't imagine they liked his message, though, telling them to bear fruit worthy of repentance and telling them to stop thinking that there's something great because they just happen to be descendants from Abraham, because God could make descendants from Abraham out of stones. Saying things like the axe is at the root of the tree. Basically, if you don't do something good, if you don't bear good fruit, you're going to get chopped down. Telling people to share their goods. Don't just hang on to them. If you've got two coats, share with somebody that doesn't have any. If you're a tax collector and this is how you make your living, don't overcollect. If you're a soldier and you don't have very much of a living coming from your wages as a soldier, and of course he would be talking about Roman soldiers here. So Roman soldiers were even coming out to see him. He's telling them, don't extort money from anyone. Be happy with your wages. John offered these and many other exhortations, insults, and put-downs. Stuff designed to provoke and agitate. Well, how's that good news? That's not what we think of good news. Good news is you say something that makes you feel uplifted, right? When you hear good news, you know, if you opened up the paper today and inflation had disappeared overnight, that the employment was full in this country, that we were running a surplus, whatever it would be. There was no war going on anywhere in the world. If you opened up the paper, you'd say, hey, that's good news. But instead, you're being told that the axe is at the root of the tree and it's about to be chopped down. How is this good news? And yet Scripture describes it as such. Moreover, he calls them vipers. Vipers? There's not many worse put-downs than that. Vipers are venomous snakes. They eat small animals, and they hunt them by striking them, and then they give venom to them to kill them or to paralyze them, and then they eat them. That's what they do. They have a pair of fangs attached to movable bones in their jaw that come out, and the fangs come out, and when they're not using the fangs, they fold back up. They kind of retract and go back into their skull. But they've got the venom. So why would calling people vipers be good news? Were the people kind of like looking to be punished? Were they masochists? Why would they go all the way out to the wilderness to get verbally abused by the guy in the camel's hair coat? Are they crazy? Or are the scriptures deceiving us? Is the scripture deceiving us, calling all of these insults, labels, labeling, and put-downs good news? I wonder if in that age, when there was no TV or cell phones, no computers, if people had fewer distractions, they had virtually no outdoor lighting at night, you ever gone out camping somewhere away from all of the light pollution that's out there? I mean, here there's a lot of street lights, and in Rochester there's even more. But to go way out into the country where there's no streetlights at all, and you look up at the sky and you can see stars all over the place that you never see when there's all this competing light shining up at the sky. And these people, in the absence of such lighting, could look up at the sky and maybe ask what I think is the most important question that we can ask about ourselves. Am I right with God? Look up at the stars. Am I right with God? Well, if we look into our hearts, if I look into my heart, you know, call me a viper and you'll be right. Call me a sinner and you'll be right twice. And not trying to put you all down today, but the same is true for all of us people. We all have fangs, don't we, somewhere. We all have some venom in us, don't we, somewhere. And it doesn't matter how nice we try to be or how well-intentioned or well-connected we are. Certainly doesn't matter how rich we are. Scriptures tell us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when John the Baptist starts speaking, we all have the opportunity to recognize our sinful nature and get right with God, our Creator. But again, how is this good news? Well, there's one key difference between us and vipers that gives us hope today. We can change. Vipers can't. Take away the fangs of a viper, take away the venom, and the viper will starve to death. Take away the fangs and the viper from people, and the venom from people, and they get nicer. And they actually thrive. They actually become better people. Why is John the Baptist associated with joy, by the way? Again, this message, you brood of vipers. Why would that be a joyful message? Well, there's a passage in the Gospel of John where John the Baptist sees his cousin. Does anybody know who John the Baptist's cousin is? I hear it. Who is it? Say it out loud. Jesus. John the Baptist, you know, knew his cousin Jesus, but suddenly he sees him as something different. And he sees Jesus, and the joy on his face, it's visible in just the way he talks. He looks at Jesus, and he's like, look, that's the Son of God. That's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he is jazzed. He is excited. That's why we talk about joy and preach about John the Baptist, because he knew where happiness really belonged. It's getting right with God through his cousin Jesus. He knew that people that act like venomous snakes need to be confronted and find a different way to be. The metaphorical venom can go away if somebody listens to the man in the camel's hair cloak and is baptized. The metaphorical fangs can go back in the jaw. The symbolic dangerous snake can be changed into somebody God can use mightily. And instead of dying, oh, our bodies will die, but we find life, and we find it more abundantly. And so for all those vipers that came out to see John the Baptist in the wilderness, this was good news. And for all us vipers today, who decide to look up at the sky and get right with God, it's good news, because a transformed life is the best news of all.